Thank you, Joy. I thought I'd get a bit of a head start. Usually I'm putting my book together and then, but I'm ready. I'm ready for you. Are you ready for God's word this morning? He's an awesome God and he does so many things for us that we do not deserve. And I just want to commend Adrian. This morning I'm speaking on barriers, breaking barriers. And he had a barrier there this morning and you broke it, brother. Well done. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been so good to Jody and myself throughout our life, and we've had so many barriers to overcome, as I'm sure you all have. Margaret, you've had your own set of barriers, and I can point at anyone else in here that have had their own barriers. Put your hand up if you believe that you've had a barrier in your life that is in front of you or has been in front of you, and it has been torn down. Amen. Well, that is my prayer this morning after you hear this message and throughout this message, that if there's barriers still standing in your life, that they won't be standing and that they don't need to be standing, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. And he who is in you, Jesus Christ, loves you with an everlasting love and wants to see you overcome. Before I pray this morning, I just want to touch on Mark 11, 23 and 24, talking about the mountain being removed in your life. Previous to this, in this passage, we see that the story of the withered fig tree, and that it is all about faith and believing and not doubting in your heart that God can do it. So this morning, before I preach this to you, I want you to just get rid of the doubt, get rid of the fear, allow it to go out, and allow faith, humility, and trust in God to come in. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that this life is full of barriers, it's full of challenges, it's full of obstacles, Lord, but we know that you are the God that overcomes, you are the God that breaks down barriers and walls of partition, Lord. So we surrender our lives to you this morning as we listen to your word. As we preach your word, Father God, I might be the one up here speaking it, but I believe that everyone is in this room, Father God, is preaching it with me, Lord, in their hearts. So we just give you praise, Lord, and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide this sermon, this message, this encouragement word, Lord Jesus, that you would give to your people this morning, that people will leave this place, Father, this afternoon when they leave and go home, and they will be stronger than they were this morning, and that not stronger in their own human strength, but stronger in you. And we just give you the praise and the glory to bless your word this morning. And all God's people said, amen and amen. This morning, just as an illustration, in relation to breaking barriers and going further than anyone's gone before, how many of you have been watching the news in the last week or so about the Artemis Orion spacecraft? Who thought that story was absolutely amazing? I thought it was pretty amazing because I was driving along in the truck thinking about it the other day, and I was doing 105 kilometres an hour, but don't tell anyone. And I said, well, gee, I'm going a bit quick. Does anyone know the re-entry back into the Earth that spacecraft was coming? 40,000 kilometres. And they travelled, I think it was over 400,000 kilometres in the travel. When I have to go to Harvey Bay or Bundaberg or Tamworth, I think, oh, it's a bit of a drag, a bit of a trip. Brad drives buses around, you know, he goes further than I do. And it's a long way. But I tell you, 400,000 kilometres is a long way. And to, not just that, but to go around the back end of the moon, in which no one has ever done, that's a barrier that has been broken in the natural. And you know what happens when barriers are broken and when challenges are overcome? It inspires people to go further next time. Would you agree? When Roger Bannister, the great runner in 1954, broke the 1 minute mile, 3 minutes, 59 seconds, he just broke it. But he broke it. It was thought humanly impossible to break that barrier. But he broke it. And he come to a few weeks later, another athlete broke it further than him. And then right up through the years, many have broken it. But up until that point, no one broke it. No one could break it. And it was thought humanly impossible. But you know what? With men, things look impossible. But with God, most things are possible. What is it, Margaret? All things are possible. And that's what we're speaking about this morning, is that there is nothing impossible for God, no matter what your situation or your circumstance, no matter what the challenge that lies ahead of you or that you're living through right now. Nothing is impossible for those who believe and they don't doubt in their heart, and that they push aside the doubt, they push aside the fear, because these circumstances and barriers that confront us each day are both visible, obvious obstacles, and also invisible. And what I mean by that is that there's certain things that we actually see. Like if you go up to Brisbane lately, in the last few years especially, there's been roadwork after roadwork. There's a barrier there. It's called a red light. It stops us from progressing to Brisbane in the time that we want to get to Brisbane, yeah? But that barrier of a red light turns to what colour light? A green light, eventually. In some cases, very eventually. But the point that I want to make is that barriers are meant, they're there, but they're meant to be broken. They're meant to be overcome. But you know what a lot of people do when they come to a barrier? It would be like me coming to that red light and saying, okay, I've got a red light. I'm going to turn back and go back to Stanthorpe. Do I do that? Do you do that? No, you have a journey. You have to push through. You have to get to the destination that you've been asked to go to. And in my case, if I did that with someone's furniture on board, I'd be in a lot of trouble because I've stolen their gear. So the point is that when you see a barrier in front of you, don't feel as though that it's never going to come down, or it can't come down, or you can't get through it, or that mountain's not going to be removed. But you've got to learn to push through it. And that word push, P-U-S-H, is an, I think it's called anagram, I'm not sure, acronym. Is that P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Amen? P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. I'm not saying to get to the red light and saying pray and, you know, all these things in the natural as such. But if there's something in your life, it could be sickness, it could be a financial stress, it could be a relationship breakdown that looks like it's never going to get fixed or resolved. Pray until something happens. Pray until the breakthrough comes. I'm sure there's people in here who have had even life-threatening illnesses in their life, but you're sitting here today. You're sitting here today because God chose to save you, yeah, but you also chose to break through that barrier. You said, no, sickness, you don't have hold over me. You don't have power over me. One day, you know, we're all going to die of something. That's a fact. I'm not here to say that you get sick, you're healed every time. But the point is that there's barriers in life that are meant to be broken. And it's for your good, yes, but you know what they're really meant to be broken for, and who they're really meant to be broken for? To bring glory to God, to bring praise to Him. And this passage that Adrian first read this morning, found in Exodus, is what we're going to share, that God breaks physical and impossible barriers. Now, this Red Sea experience for the people of Israel was a barrier in front of them. Would you agree that unless they had a ship or something, they weren't getting to the other side, to the promised land, to the land that's supposed to be flowing with milk and honey like they were promised? There was only one way across that, and that's by the finger of God, by the hand of God Himself. That was the only way. And God very purposefully sent that nation of Israel, after their 430 years of bondage, into between a rock and a hard place, in a place where the sea was on one side and the army of Pharaoh was on the other. And I want you to understand this morning that was very purposely there because God wanted to show forth His glory to Pharaoh. He wanted to show forth His glory to us today by reading the story. Amen? Isn't it good to read that story and know the outcome of it? It's a blessing for us, isn't it? It's easy. Yep, we win that. God wins that. But what if you were living it? Just imagine if you were part of the nation of Israel right now, and you'd been in slavery for 430 years. There was generations in that in that nation that didn't even know what freedom was. Amen. They lived and died in bondage. There's people in this world who live and die in bondage, and they get to the Red Sea and they crumble like some of them did. They said, why didn't we just stay back in Egypt? They were whinging and complaining. And then all of a sudden, Moses lifted his hand under the direction of the Lord, and that mighty wind came. And to cut a long story short, we're not going to read it. You know the story. It's a Sunday school story. There was a wall to their right and a wall to their left of water, And what was in the middle? Dry land, that's so that they could walk through. The barrier had been broken, even though there was a lack of faith in the camp. But it took one who had faith. And then the people walked on through. And that all of the while, there was a fire holding back the army of God, the army of Pharaoh from the people of God, so that they couldn't get to them for a time. But then it came that fire was dispelled. It was gone. It vanished. And Pharaoh decided to follow hard because his heart had become hard. He followed hard. And he came hard after the nation of Israel. And he sent his men, his chariots, his horses, his whole army into the midst of the Red Sea. And the people of Israel get to the other side. Moses lifts his hand again. God is switched on again, and the water comes in over the enemies and washes them away. And there is, it says that there was not one who made it. Not one of the enemy made it. That is God's will for your life, that your enemies won't have dominion over you, that you will have dominion over the enemy. And you can't do it in yourself. You need Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You need the direction and the truth of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you in everything that you do to be an overcomer. I can't just go out there and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Anthony who strengthens himself. No, I have to say, I can do all things through Jesus who gives me the strength. Do you understand? It's very simple, so I know you will understand. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes to break the physical and impossible barriers. So that's an example, just one of many examples. You've got the walls of Jericho. You've got so many stories that I could share this morning of physical barriers that the nation of Israel themselves, even in just the Old Testament, had to overcome and had to place their faith, their trust in God. But even when they didn't place their faith, even when they didn't place their trust, God still, by his mercy and by his grace, made a way where there was no way. Amen. There's a scripture here I just want to briefly touch on. I think it's so good. Found in Isaiah 43, verse 19. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. When you're dry, the Ezekiel dry bones, all of these stories just show the dunamis of God, the power, the anointing that destroys the yoke, the anointing that sets the captive free. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people is so intense and so strong that we cannot comprehend how much he really loves us. I was watching a documentary just last night, and I just looked at it, and it was talking of the crucifixion of Jesus and how it is depicted in different movies, even like The Passion of the Christ. They reckon The Passion of the Christ movie, have you seen it? Yep. The brutality shown to Jesus on that doesn't even come close to the truth. Whoa. And that's pretty bad. But it doesn't even come close to the truth of the suffering that Jesus went through. He was beaten. He was naked. He was completely destroyed and obliterated. And by the time he got to the cross, would have lost most of his blood even before he went on the cross. And I just thought of that last night, and I said, and I asked myself the question, I said, what are we doing? What are we doing playing church? What are we doing just floating along in this life thinking, you know, me, myself, and I, when Jesus gave everything and broke the greatest barrier, and that's the barrier of sin and death. And he broke it for you and me in that absolute brutality and agony that he would have went through that we can't even comprehend. Yes, he had the cat of nine tails. We think, yeah, just a bit of flesh and whatever. Jesus was broken so that we could be restored. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer. When Adam and Eve switched the lights off in the garden by the actions of disobeying God, Jesus switched the lights back on. And when he was on that cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them, Father, for when they neglect me. Forgive them, Father, for when they don't care about me and they care about their own affairs more than me. Forgive them, Father God, when they don't worry about the poor and the destitute and the hurting. Forgive them, Father, for when they don't evangelize like I've commanded them. Forgive them. And you know what he does? But personally, and this is for me, take it or leave it for yourself, I pray that you take it, is that really grasping that revelation of what Jesus did and what he went through and that barrier that he actually broke for you and me, we can't comprehend it with our little peanut brains, but we can comprehend it if we surrender our spirit to him and say, Lord, into your presence I want to dwell. In your presence I want to dwell. Into your hands I commit my spirit for everything that I say, everything that I do, every step that I take, every word that I speak. Let it be to the glory of God. And you know, the reason I've said all that, you're thinking, where are you going with this? And I'm just saying that if you're in that place of absolute surrender, and I mean absolute surrender, verily, verily, not just a very, verily. I mean absolute surrender. Then when barriers come in your life, you're in such a deep and meaningful relationship with your Lord that barrier, you can literally say, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. I'm not doubting in my heart anymore because I have faith. And that faith is stronger than my sin. That faith is stronger than this obstacle that lies in my way. And whatever the barrier is that's trying to bring me down, I'm going to bring it down in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I want you to get that this morning because it's so, so important. And we look at another aspect of breaking barriers this morning. And I'm just going to go to the story just briefly. And it's found in Mark chapter 2, verse 3. We're just going to read that story. Some of you already know where I'm going probably, but for those of you who don't, we're going to open up to it. This is a good story. It's a story of tenacity. It's a story of seeing a barrier in front of you and not letting that barrier stop you to what you want to get done. Amen? You want to get the job done. And this is what these four men in particular did. And we'll just read from verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. It's good when Jesus is in the house. Amen? He's in the house. And I don't mean in this building, but he's in your heart. Amen? He's in the house. I love that. That's good. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." We look at these four men, and I think we would do well to have their tenacity and determination. Is that there was no way in. The barrier in this case was the house was full. There was no way in to get this paralytic. There would have been people in there in our day and age who probably didn't need to be in there as such. This paralytic needed to be in there to have that receive that healing touch potentially. You know, there was all sorts of psychology and thought patterns there. But these four men looked at the door. If you can just picture them, we can't get in. That's not a way in, but I know a way that I can get in. And they take the roof and they lower it right at the feet of Jesus. Lower this paralytic at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus notices, he doesn't say, you're healed, but your sins are forgiven. You know, what's greater, healing or having your sins forgiven? Because I know that as someone who is calling on the name of the Lord, having your sins forgiven, that one day, as I have personally done that, you personally have done that, that I know that I'm going to be forever with the Lord. And in his presence, the psalm says that there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Now, is being sick fullness of joy? Can you have joy while you're sick? Yes, you can and you should, because it's the joy of the Lord that gives you strength. Amen. But I know that there'll come a time where all sickness, all tears, everything that has held us back in this life, every barrier, it will be gone and it will be gone forever. And that we will be in his presence forevermore and we will be as he is. We won't no longer see dimly in a mirror, but we're going to see him face to face. Wow. I don't discount people who have said that they've seen Jesus face to face. I don't discount people who have said they've had heavenly visits. But I know that every person who places their trust in Jesus now, whether they have an encounter face to face with God now or later, we're all going to have that encounter because he's chosen us. Amen. Isn't that exciting? To see your maker, to see your savior. You know, you look at, I've been to football games and cricket games and all that, and you get, as a kid, and you get autographs off the famous people and whatever. It's such a buzz. It's awesome. I even took a piece of turf out of the Gabba cricket pitch and brought it home and kept it in a glass for about 2 years before it completely withered back to dirt. That's when you're allowed, the old days, when you're allowed to run onto the field and just harass the players. But I wouldn't worry about the players. I just want a bit of the turf. Weirdo. But at the end of the day, I haven't got that turf anymore. But it was that day I did get autographs, and my mates got all autographs from the players back then. Alan Border and all of those players that were there. Dean Jones. And, you know, that was the era. That was good cricket, in my opinion, for those of you who like cricket. But the point was, is that was a great experience, an experience that I'll never forget. But one day we're going to meet someone, an autograph's not going to be enough. Like, I'm not worried about the autograph of Jesus. I want the presence of Jesus. I want to talk to him. I want to ask him some questions about the Bible. I want to ask him some questions about, you know, some things in life and say why. And you know what? He's going to have the answer for every one of them. And he's going to have an answer that I can't argue with or can't rebut. Isn't that great? I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a challenge now and there's barriers in your way, look at the big picture. An investor always, versus a day trader, for example, or something like that, an investor, long-term investor, is always more successful than just one who just does it just for a day. Long term. And that's what we've got to do with our Christian walk, is we've got to be investors, not gamblers. We've got to invest our time into the Lord Jesus Christ with everything that we have and say, Lord, I know the total reward isn't, or I can't feel it now, or I can't see it right now. And there's barriers in my way, there's obstacles stopping me from getting there. But Lord, I'm making this decision now. I'm going to push that barrier aside. I'm going to push through that barrier or this barrier. And I'm going to get to you because my eyes are on the author and the finisher of my faith. My eyes are on Jesus. It's like the song, the old song that I grew up with and that you all grew up with. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and the earth will grow strangely dim. It shouldn't be strange though. The earth should grow dim. It shouldn't be a strange thing. It's strange to the world, but it shouldn't be strange as a Christian. Amen. We should know that as we turn our eyes on Jesus, all of these things in life that hold us back suddenly disappear into thin air because God causes that to take place. So the next point that I just want to bring here, and I think this is important, and I did touch on it a little bit earlier, is that God breaks internal barriers. And what I mean by internal barriers is that of fear, lack of faith, doubt, and all of those things. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The biggest barriers are those invisible ones. The biggest barriers aren't so much the visible ones all the time. It's the invisible ones, the things that are happening within the heart, within the spirit. Do you know that sin is very deceptive? Like, you can sin today and say, okay, that's terrible, and I'll go and repent in that. And then it's called besetting sin. And then you can sin the same sin tomorrow and the next day and the next day and just keep going on. And eventually that sin is not even sin to you anymore. It becomes acceptable. It becomes correct. It becomes right because you justify it. You agree? I've been there. Perhaps I'm still there in areas of my life. Perhaps you're still there in areas of your life. It's a sin that you've accepted that is no longer in your vocabulary or in your dictionary defined as sin, but it's defined as acceptable. But when you go back to the Word of God, you know for sure that the Word says it's not. It's not acceptable. It is a sin, and it will be a sin yesterday, today, and forever. But praise the Lord, we serve a God that brings forgiveness to that sin when we bring repentance to his heart and to his life, because we want to be a part of his kingdom forevermore. And we need, as a part of that, to identify ourselves with Christ. We need to realize ourselves as identifiable as a child of the living God, that his royal blood flows through our veins, and that we are children of the Most High. Amen. You know, if I put a lion in the muck, a baby lion or something, I'm just using a quick example here, in a patch of sheep, in a flock of sheep, and let's let it grow up in that environment, would it think it's a sheep later on because it's grown up under the nurture of sheep, or a dog as a sheep, or whatever the example is? But yes, the answer is yes. We are what we eat. We are who we are because of the circumstances and our decisions that we made yesterday are a result of who we are today. But once that lion or that dog or whatever it is comes out of that environment and realizes who he is or who she is, then they find their true identity, their true application to life, and what they were created for, their true purpose for life. And they become exactly who they were called to be. It's much like you and me, is that the people we hang around with, the fellowshipping in the church is so important. We see that as we're fellowshipping with the saints, that we don't become exactly like each other, but we are on the same page serving the same God, receiving the same Jesus, following the same Holy Spirit, and listening to the same word that God wants us to have. And that's called unity. And where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Do you want to live in the blessing of the Lord? I do. I want to live under his blessing and under his yoke, because it's easy. So sometimes the breakthrough that we're looking for in these internal barriers relies on us finding our identity in Christ. And how do we do that? We spend time in his word. We spend time in fellowship. We spend time in surrender to him. Because as you get to know him, you get to know yourself. You think you know yourself, but you don't know yourself until you know Jesus, I believe. Your true self. And then when you want to come to a place and just to analyze what's going on in this heart of yours, not your natural heart, but your heart, you say, how much of Jesus is actually dwelling in here? Or how many barriers have I actually put up blocking Jesus from getting in? Amen. There's two sides to barriers, but that invisible one is by far the most detrimental and dangerous to your soul, to your well-being as a Christian, is that we need to allow fear and doubt and sin not to be a part of our life. And when it comes knocking on the door, you've got to put a do not disturb, or just don't answer the door. Don't let it in. Amen? We need to come to that place. The last point that I want to share this morning, and this is the ultimate breaking of the barrier, which we have already spoke about briefly this morning, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 2:14. We're just going to read that passage, that second passage that Adrian read this morning. We'll just read from verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man for the two, thus making peace. You know, the first Adam failed, the second Adam extraordinarily overcome. Amen. The first Adam welcomed sin into the world. The second Adam obliterated and destroyed sin. And the second Adam I speak about this morning is Jesus. And we look here in verse 14 in particular. He is our peace, but he's broken down that middle wall of separation between God and you. There was no way to get to God. Have you ever seen that little evangelistic track where there's a canyon and that what's joining and what's bridging those two canyons together? The cross. The cross. Now, the cross is just a cross. That's no problem. That's a cross. But it's the emblem of salvation that it represents. It's the symbol that Jesus went to that cross. He was laid in the grave. Death laid hold of him, or at least attempted to lay hold of him. But praise be to God that that barrier that was once the center wall of division, this partition that was between man and God, the Creator, when Jesus says it is finished, when he said that on the cross, it is finished. What happened in that period of time in the temple? The veil was torn down, torn in two. And that was representative that man could then come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. And I don't know about you, but every single morning, every single breath for me is a time of need for Jesus. It's not that I wake up, I just need you for a second, Jesus, and then I get on with my day, even though it is a lot of the time. It shouldn't be. We need him every moment of every day, every second of every day. Because that veil that was once, that we, and the Bible says it there in Ephesians, once you who were afar off have been brought close. Isn't that precious? We just visited our children, our two older boys are living in Brisbane now, and house is emptying out. It's getting cheaper. Well, except when we go to Brisbane. But when we see them, and especially when they see their mother, they just embrace, and they're asking, when are you going to move up here? Or when are you coming back next? Why is that? Because they want to be close. We should have that same heart for God, that whenever he's a little bit away, or we've walked away, we want to get back. We want to get close to him. And that can be a mindset barrier, or a spiritual barrier, whatever it is, a faith barrier. But I encourage you this morning to break that barrier, because there's no reason why you can't, because God has broken and destroyed everything that was in your way, spiritually speaking. All we have to do is walk in it and step into it now. Amen. The work is complete. The work has been done. We just make up these things that we can't do it. And you're right, we can't do it. But I know someone who can. And when he says it, that settles it. Amen. I'm just going to ask the music team to approach again. And we're just going to close in prayer. I just want to thank you for your attention this morning, and there's so much more I could share, but you guys have got a lunch to have, and I just want you to have fellowship, because that's really important, to fellowship with the saints, and to chat and to talk about the things of God and the things in life, and to bounce things off each other. So Lord Jesus, we just come before you, and we thank you that any barriers that people are facing in their own lives right now, Lord, that after hearing this message, after receiving the insights and the revelation that you're so gracious to share with us this morning, Lord, that they can step forth towards that barrier and it can be destroyed and removed and that be cast into the sea, just like that mountain that you talk about in the book of Mark. We know, Lord Jesus, as you walked through that place in Bethany, Father God, that you walked through in these, all through your ministry, Lord, and whenever there was something that wasn't right, you fixed it. When there was someone who wanted healing, you never refused them. And I just give you praise this morning that the barriers in our lives can be broken down, that we can walk worthy of you, Father God. We can walk without distraction to show you, Lord Jesus, that we are for real, and that you show us our true identity in you, Lord. We only want to be found in you. We don't want to be found in any other place. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing your insights this morning, and touch the hearts of your people this morning. Let a tenderness just touch their hearts, just to bring them close to you, Father God, just to allow a hunger and a thirst for you like they've never had before. Because we know that the greater the hunger, the greater the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon their lives. Nothing really matters. Church programs and all the things that we muck around with, Father God, it really doesn't matter. It's our relationship with you. It's our life that we need to walk hand in hand with you. So let all the barriers of religion, let all the barriers of politics be broken down in your church, Father God, in your city, in your town, in your world, Father God, because we know that a lot of all of those sorts of things just ride on ego. They don't ride on you. So we pray, Father God, for the United States and the leadership there. We pray you just do what you got to do there, Lord. We can't pray what to do, but you know what needs to be done. So we just give you praise this morning that all these barriers that are holding your people back from what their true calling are will be dispelled in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.